Well, I don't know if you got a chance to actually watch Donald Trump at CPAC yesterday, but he was fashionably late, as they say, which is kind of remarkable. I mean, how can you know when you're supposed to be at a venue and then just do what you want to do, you know, and basically leave late? I don't know, but I guess you could call it fashionably late, but Donald Trump was fashionably late to the CPAC conference in Orlando, and it's not that he had to go that far. He was about an hour late, so he had to go from Palm Beach, as they say, to Orlando, and my guess is he didn't drive, you know. He probably took a helicopter or something like that, on his own dime, I'll add. Yep, things have changed. But if you went to that CPAC conference in Orlando looking for unity in the Republican Party with a cohesive message for future political endeavors that dovetails and blends with the Republicans in Washington, and if you came there expecting Donald Trump to move on from his claims of election fraud, well, then you left with a feeling that a unified GOP is a fable, it's a myth. You left with the feeling that election fraud is now a party platform for the future. So that pretty much sums up the Donald Trump diatribe, if you will, at the CPAC conference in Orlando. So within that speech that I listened to, that painful speech, he also claimed that he helped pull Mitch McConnell's election over the finish line. I don't know if Mitch agrees with that. Probably not. Donald Trump renewed his loathing of wind turbines, as he claims they basically let Texas down. He rambled on about how sports, women's sports, is a tragedy now with transgender participation that's going on. He went on and on about that. And then he touched on how Democrats are, of course, socialists and communists. But yet, despite all of that, he ended up somehow dovetailing all of that with what he thought was important to state, was that the Republican Party is a party of love. For those of you who didn't know, it's a party of love. And he also called the past election, of course, he called that a disgrace. He couldn't go to CPAC and not mention that. He called it a disgrace. He said that he actually won the presidency two times, and he may go for a third time, so keep those dollars flowing to his Save America PAC. But yet, folks, when it was all done, when the CPAC conference was over, and Donald Trump was the last person to speak there, he went home to Mar-a-Lago, and Biden went home to the White House. So when it came to election fraud, Donald Trump spent a lot of time saying that you have to make election law changes in states by going through the state legislatures. He made a lot of iterations, a lot of points about that, that the changes that were made, sort of giving people the idea that the changes that were made that helped him lose were not changes that went through state legislatures. But yet, when you look at Pennsylvania, a state that Senator Josh Hawley protested in the Electoral College, as we all very well know, that's exactly what happened. The Republican state legislature approved the absentee ballot changes that were made. So that Trump argument that you have to follow the state legislatures sort of rings hollow in all of that. It's a say what you want, you know, facts be damned sort of existence that he lives in. It's a sort of fairy tale world that Donald Trump lives in. But yet, that narrative that he says, people take that as gospel, as we know, part of the problem. So what's not clear is how Donald Trump expects to leverage election fraud in future elections. That doesn't really, that's not abundantly clear to me at this stage. It's sort of like something that, you know, he claims derailed his election and why he's not president, you know, all that. But how is he going to leverage that going forward? One thing is clear, though, however, that Donald Trump made an appeal to the public for money via his website. And it seems like his son, Donald Trump Jr., has done the same thing. They seem very in tune with with squeezing as much publicity for their political action committees as they can, you know, through all of these opportunities that they have every time they're in front of a camera, it seems like. And we've talked and talked about how a lot of the money could be declared as income for Donald Trump if he just claims it on his taxes. So, yeah, there's a good reason why he wants you to donate the money. And it also remains clear that he intends to use his influence to get rid of them all, as he calls it. And he's talking about Republicans in name only, the rhinos. Get rid of them all, he says. And despite the crowd chanting, we love you, Donald Trump, 32% of this rabidly conservative group that was at CPAC, when they were polled in the straw poll that was done, evidently 32% of them were just kind of ambivalent about Donald Trump running again in 2024. You don't care. So as Donald Trump powers ahead with plans to get rid of them all and describing Republicans that he doesn't like, at the same time lifting himself up as a sort of president in exile, despite the stains of the Capitol riots that are forever etched in history, Mitch McConnell last week said that he'd vote for Trump if he ran in 2024. He said he'd vote for Donald Trump. But to me, that was a politician just babbling on, trying to make everybody in his party happy, like a lot of politicians do. But the reality is Donald Trump probably won't run in 2024. I mean, given his age, folks, and given the fact that things fade in time, the message I took away from the speech in general, that Donald Trump speech, was that Donald Trump is going to continue to fundraise at every opportunity. And between golf games, he'll grab a headline here and there. And in a couple years, he'll support a few candidates that he likes. But the narrative really has changed here, folks. It's distinctly obvious to me that the narrative has changed to Biden now, and the focus of prosperity post-COVID being within our nation's grasp is a reality. That's where the narrative is going to be going if it hasn't already gone there. Americans, as we always do, will focus on America, our futures, and our families. That's going to be our focus. And we're going to focus on the struggle to balance prosperity for all Americans and not just those at the top 1%. And of course, we're still going to have, along the way here, Republicans are going to scream socialism at every turn that Democrats are doing to try to make life better for most Americans out there. But in reality, I just that brings this thought to mind, that how can you really expect Republicans to do anything for Americans in need when anything that the Democrats do to help Americans is dismissed as socialism? How can you expect them to do anything given that scenario? Screaming socialism at every turn. How could they do anything to help everyday Americans? Folks, just a thought for the day. I want to thank you for tuning in, and until next time.